This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of the service will be given at the close of the program.
Why do people walk away from the church? There are many answers to that question. But why do people walk away from Jesus Christ? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we return our thanks to you that another week has gone by, and we are privileged to once again feed our soul on your word, that we may bring your witness of the gospel to this world. Lord, we pray for our country, for the president of this nation, for those who are in authority over us. Guide them and lead them, Holy Spirit, according to the way of your will. We also pray today that the gospel of Jesus Christ may ring clearly in this message and in many other messages where the word is heard on this Sunday. Grant that through that word, many people may be brought to a living faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Hear our prayer, we ask it in your holy name. Amen. As we continue our study in the book of Galatians, you will recall that there were people called the Judaizers who came into congregations after Paul had established them and began to tell the people that salvation was not by grace through faith in Christ alone, but they also had to keep the law. And here is what St. Paul says. Referring to the Judaizers, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wished I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
My God.
Friends in Christ, some years ago, I had a dinner with a friend and a conversation that I will never, never forget. It wasn't the most pleasant conversation that I had ever had, and yet I guess I'm glad that I had that opportunity. This friend and I had been acquainted with one another for a long, long time. We had had many things in common. And then our ways went in different directions, and we just didn't see one another. But here was the occasion, and we sat down to have a lovely meal with one another. Now, obviously, I am drawing from that conversation, which is many years ago. And I don't mean to be talking verbatim, but I'm going to give you the general gist of it. As we sat visiting, I recall he asked me about the family and how we were getting along, some of that, you know, to get started in the real conversation of the day. Then he asked me, how is your church doing? He said, I'm very interested in your church. And once in a while, if I'm in the right place, I can catch you on the radio. I understand that you've done a lot of building on your church campus. And I understand that it has grown by many hundreds of people, and you've really had a rich ministry. Sounds like you really enjoyed your work. I wish I could say the same for myself, he said. All of this then led up to the question about how's your church going? That's what I asked him. To which he replied, I seldom attend church any longer. My wife goes, and the children were pretty faithful there while they were at home. We saw to it that they were confirmed, but I don't think that they are very active where they belong now, away from home. I was sorry to hear that, because he had been raised in a very, very strong church home. What happened, I said. You used to be very active. Well, he said, that's perhaps the problem. The family in which I was raised, and you know it well, was very active in the congregation. That's probably where the problem started. I think I got too much religion as a kid. I couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that. The church door was open many times during the week, and every time it was open, my father and mother saw that we were there. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and often on Wednesday nights. I had enough church to last me for the rest of my life. And I left home rather bitter about religion and the way that it had been passed out to us as kids in our family. All of this was causing my heart to be tremendously heavy. And finally I said to him, let's forget about the church. After all, that is another organization. May I ask you, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh, he said, if you want to talk about that, it's an entirely different question. I believe in him. I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. And he gave me a lot of vague statements such as these. So finally, I got right down to brass tacks and asked him the old diagnostic question, which I have asked hundreds of friends and other acquaintances during the course of my ministry. I said to him, if you should die tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? And this man gave me an answer that I seldom got. The answers that I would get often were yes, or I hope so. But this man came right out, looking me in the face, and I think perhaps by this time a little bit disgusted because this was not the conversation that he really was planning on having. He said, if I should die tonight, I would not go to heaven. And I asked him, why do you say that so dogmatically? Well, he said, take a look at my life. I've got nothing to hide. But I don't go to church. I have no regularity in worship services. My language is not the best. And I know how to make a deal that sometimes is not always completely honest. I can do some drinking. Oh, I'm not an alcoholic. But I can drink it up with the boys if that's the thing that's on the docket for the night. I've not always been the best father, nor certainly the best husband. My wife would have had every reason to drop our marriage long ago if she'd wanted to. I don't think that we ever had a family devotion with our kids. Now, how could a person who has all of those characteristics ever get into heaven if there is such a place, he said to me. That led me further. What do you think about Christ? Just tell me, what do you think about Christ? You say you believe in God, but what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And he said, frankly, I know what you want me to say. I could give you the old lingo that I learned when I was a kid. But today, I don't give him much thought. Yeah, I remember those teachings that we got as children. But he said, I went away to the service, and they were rough years. And then I came home, and I went to college. And all of this has caused me to question some of the teachings that supposedly Jesus had taught. So I'm going to leave it there and see what happens as the future goes on. And so the conversation continued until finally we had to drift to another topic before we went home. I haven't visited with my friend since, but I still wonder and pray for him. Now let me give you another picture. This is a picture of concerned parents, I think you could call it. This is a home that by no stretch of the imagination could be called pious. They did not live by a lot of rules, and they had difficulty sometimes in getting to church, although every Sunday they were there. Their children could never say that they had had too much religion in their home, unless it would be that they had to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. There was a home, however, where both in spirit and in word, the people knew the gospel. Now, what was the gospel? The gospel was this, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and that he suffered and died on a cross and paid the price for our sins, and he was raised again. And if you will confess your sins and trust Christ, you will be forgiven. That was the message that they heard at home. It was a message that they heard on Sunday morning when they went to church. It was a message that the young people in that family were schooled in the catechetical classes. It was just the message of the Christian faith. So when these kids left home, the one thing that the parent knew was this: they have been raised with a clear understanding intellectually of what the gospel really is. I'm sure that the parents were often concerned about the spiritual life of their kids after they left home. They had enough information to know that the excitement of university life was really sometimes taking them to places that they shouldn't have been. The church had a rather low priority in their young lives. And without a doubt, the parents at home wondered what would happen when they once got married and how that would all go. Now the years have gone by, and all of these children have been raised and are married adults. But today the parents are rejoicing, for they see the power of the gospel bringing their children into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Once they had an intellectual knowledge of the gospel, but now Christ has come alive, and at least in the case of some of the members of the family, has gripped them to the place that they are living, dynamic witnesses for the Savior. As they have struggled with their relationship with God in the past, they have never been weighed down with a lot of laws, but some of them have really found Christ Jesus. The parents knew that the gospel had that power, and that eventually the Holy Spirit, working through this knowledge, could create within their children a strong personal relationship with the Savior. Not all is finished. There are some who still linger outside, but they have the gospel, the Word of God. When I studied the fourth chapter of Galatians, which is where our text is found today, and I wondered, how can I apply this so that the people will get something out of it? It seems to me that Paul had the same problem with his spiritual children in those churches in the province of Galatia. He had been in their midst. He had told them the story of Jesus. He had reminded them as best he could that salvation came by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. And he had no more than gotten out of town, having established that new congregation, when here came these people who had heard the gospel and were willing to put the gospel into their message that Jesus died for the sins of the world. But they said, you've got to do far more than trust Christ. You've got to live by those laws. And they probably couldn't live by the laws, no question about it. They were not only the moral laws, which are very important, but they were the ceremonial laws. If you want to be God's child and you want to be His forever, that means then that you have got to have your children circumcised. You have got to keep the ceremonies of the religion from which you have come. You must obey the dietary laws and not eat those things which are forbidden by our religion. In other words, Jesus was mentioned, but there were so many other laws that went along with it that they forgot the gospel, that God loved them and Jesus died for them. And what these Galatians did was carry so many of these laws in their lives. Now, it was to these laws that they returned after Paul left. And Paul is saying to them, how could you leave? Once you were free in Christ Jesus, Christ wanted to give you a great life. Christ wanted to make you His heir. He wanted to give you an inheritance. He wanted you to know that you could be a son or a daughter of God. He wanted you to know that you come into the presence of God crying out, Abba, Father, my Father, and that God was not some person who was anxious to destroy them. What a heritage you have, he said to those Galatians. That's the whole purpose of this book, that you would throw the gospel away for a ritualistic, legalistic religion. This was more than Paul could take. And so he unburdened. And he said, oh, I wish that I could come and be with you. Well, what do we learn from this? I just say a couple of things today, friend. Remember, the law is important, but it can never save you. The law can only bring you on your knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the cross and the empty tomb that can forgive you. Whatever you do, fathers and mothers, with your children, surround them with the gospel. Then you have every right to believe that Christ will bring them home, if not now, then later. Surround them with the gospel. Let them know how much God loves them and that if they will repent and trust in Jesus, they will be forgiven. Many of them will leave. There's no question about that. But don't believe that all of them will necessarily. Look around in the churches where you worship. See how the gospel has held on to so many of our people. And they rejoice as the heirs of God's kingdom. If you're among the rebellious people today, and you're like my friend who said, I've had enough of church, maybe you have, and maybe everything was not right in your church, but have you had enough of Jesus to hear Him say, I forgive you, to have Him say, I've got a place in heaven for you. Come to Him, friend. Come to Him. And now let's listen as that great gospel singer, George Beverly Shea, sings so beautifully. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus, for there is your refuge and your strength. Amen.
Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I got long to stay here.
Steal away,
not long to stay here. My Lord, he calls me. He calls me by the thunder, the trumpet sounds within of my soul. How it got long to stay. Trees are bending, poor sinner stands a trembling. The trumpet sounds within my soul. Long to stay here.
Father, we pray that we may never exchange the gospel for the law, but that we may find our refuge in Jesus Christ, who alone can take away our sins and make us yours forever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We pray today's gospel message comforts and guides you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will donations of our listening family. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift as a part of your estate planning. For information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, call us toll-free at 1-888-693-2484. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders broadcasts over 16 radio stations in 9 states, shortwave in Europe, and on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. We are grateful you chose to worship with us today, and pray you will worship with us next Sunday on this station. Christian Crusaders is now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.